Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
The Apostle Paul. How many of you love the Apostle Paul? He's such a great guy. So the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel and he finds himself heading to Rome. And he's on a ship, and the ship is shipwrecked. Now, this is the Apostle Paul's third shipwreck. The guy has been on the Titanic three times. Like, has anyone ever been shipwrecked in this room? No one has. I was pretty confident of that. No one has been shipwrecked. This guy's experienced three shipwrecks. Note to self, don't catch a boat with Paul. He's shipwrecked three times, and this is the last time that we read of anyway. Maybe he was shipwrecked a few more times after this, but this is the third time. And so he basically has to hold onto a piece of timber, and he floats back into shore, and everyone actually survives because God said everybody would survive. And so he's tired, he's cold, he's just survived his third shipwreck, and he finally comes to shore, and we pick up the story in Acts chapter 28. It was Paul, that's who it was. And then this is what it says. It says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. Hey, you guys got in there. The Maltesers. It says the islanders, hey, you get called islanders. You didn't know that you were islanders, but you're islanders now. It says the islanders showed us unusual kindness. How many of you know a Maltese person? Aren't they unusually kind people? If you're sitting next to a Maltese, just give them a kiss right now. And some guy just kissed a girl. He just thought, you look Maltese, I'm going to kiss you anyway. That's not right, guys. I really was talking about islanders here. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. It says they built a fire and they welcomed us all because it was raining and it was cold. Isn't that great hospitality? Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. Isn't that amazing? That even though he just suffered a shipwreck, like the guy literally just came in from the ocean, but yet he's already helping out. Isn't that amazing? What a great spirit this man has. He says he gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. So the guy picks up some wood, he puts it under the fire, and a snake jumps out and bites the guy, and it stays fastened, it says. It doesn't just bite him and run, it actually fastens itself. Did you notice how the snake didn't bite this guy after a month of just sitting on the island of Malta and having some pasta and relaxing and having some short blacks? And you know, this could have happened at least after a month, but it happened immediately. The guy literally comes out of the ocean, he's trying to help out, and boom! Why? Because the devil knows when you are most vulnerable. He knows when you are vulnerable. He was vulnerable, he was tired. And did you notice how the viper came out of the fire, out of the brushwood, once it was placed onto the fire? Listen, just a side note here. The devil hates heat. Snakes love lukewarm environments. You know what? If you've got a lukewarm marriage, what do I mean? What do I mean by that? When there's no romance, no love, no passion, no sacrifice, that's where the enemy loves to live, in that marriage. Are you hearing that? If you want to get this snake out of different areas of life, turn up the heat. If you want to get, turn up the heat. Turn up the heat of that area of your life. If you're feeling like you've got a bad attitude, turn up the heat of thankfulness and gratitude, and watch the snake come running out of your life, because he can't stand when people are hot for God and hot for one another and loving one another. The enemy can't stand that. He comes out, he flies out. And so we see here that Paul puts the timber, the brushwood on the fire. The snake jumps out and it fastens itself to him. It says, when the islanders saw, everyone say saw. When they saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." You know, the only thing being bitten by a snake is being bitten by a snake publicly. The only thing worse than bad things happening to you is when bad things happen to you publicly. Come on, don't sit there like, really? Yes, come on, but let's be honest about that. You don't mind if some bad things happen to you, but when everyone knows about it, and what's the problem with that? Because most people have got a philosophy and a teaching. And for some of us, it hasn't even been taught. It's just who we are as human beings. But this is what some of us believe. Bad things only happen to bad people. If you're not doing well, then that means you are not doing right. And I want to stand up here today and tell you that is not the truth. The Apostle Paul did nothing wrong. He was trying to help out. He was a great man who wasn't thinking about himself. He was taking some brushwood and he was simply putting it on a fire, and a snake came out and it bit him. And we need to understand that karma, as good as it sounds, and some of us even use that term, but karma is you get what you deserve. So if bad things are happening to you, you must be a bad person. But you've got to understand, it's not biblical. It is not the Bible. Yes, the Bible says you reap what you sow. There's no doubt about it. But sometimes you just get bitten by a snake. Why? Well, I don't know why, but I can tell you one thing. A great example of that bad things don't always happen to bad people is Jesus Christ himself. He was a good person. He did nothing wrong, but some bad stuff happened to Jesus. So if you're experiencing some bad stuff in your life right now, don't make the assumption that you're a bad person or you're doing something wrong, because Jesus did nothing wrong. And I want our church to have an attitude and a spirit of that if some bad things are going on in someone's life, don't always make the assumption that they've done some bad things. It's not the truth. It is not the truth, friends. Paul did nothing wrong and he got bitten by a snake. Some of you are in this room right now, and I'm telling you right now, you're experiencing some snake bites and they're really hurting. And listen, there are some people who are judging you, saying, "Well, you must have done something wrong." And I'm here to say, friends, let's hold back our judgment. Let's hold it back and let's just say, you know what? If God is for me, then no one can be against me. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a huge round of applause. You know, I'm preaching this message as a part two of Thy Kingdom Come. Because, friends, why did this situation even take place? Why did Paul experience the snake bite? Because you need to know that people are watching your life. You know, in your workplace, people watch you. You don't think they're watching you. They are watching you. And guess what? Some of them have heard that you go to with this kooky church. They've seen it on your app. They've heard you speak about it. People are watching your life. And when they see you get bitten by a snake, what does that mean? When some bad stuff happens to your life, friends, people don't watch us when we win $1 million and how we react. They watch when some bad stuff happens to your life and how you react when that happens. And the way in which we're going to bring God's kingdom into every area of our lives is when we take these principles that we see Paul did in a minute, because they're not watching whether you got bitten or not. They want to see whether you survive. That's what they want to see. Because I tell you what, people are experiencing snake bites all over our society, and some people are in this room right now. Some of us have experienced the snake bite of divorce, a bad business deal. Come on, let's be honest. Right now, some of you are feeling like you have been bitten by bankruptcy, by a broken heart. Someone betrayed your confidence. Someone backstabbed you. Come on, these are real things, aren't they? Is it speaking to anyone so far? About 8 of these are already for me, except for the bankruptcy one, but who knows what tomorrow holds. Long-term unemployment, loneliness, depression. What about your parents' bad decision over your life? That's a snake bite. How many of us wish that our parents did or didn't do some things in our lives? Amen. But verse 5 kicks in, and I love this. It says, "But Paul shook the snake off into the fire, and he suffered no ill effects. Paul shook off the snake bite and suffered no ill effects. Anyone want to come out here and touch my little friend here? For those of you on podcast, I've just pulled out a snake. A rubber snake. Definitely rubber. But how many of you know that even just a look of that frightens you? Yeah, some of you don't even want to look at it. Look at it. Look, you're turning away. Well, the Apostle Paul puts some wood on a fire. This thing jumps out and fastens itself to his hand. It's got a snake. Fastened. It didn't just bite him, it actually hung on, right? But the Bible tells us that Paul, he didn't start talking to the snake. Yeah. Why did this happen to me? Did I do something wrong? Did I annoy you? What happened? Come on, let's go talk to someone else about this.
Come on.
And for some of us right now, when heaven looks down, this is what we look like. He didn't befriend the snake. He didn't keep the snake. He didn't make the snake his lifelong story.
Yeah. Wow.
Listen to what he did. This is a word for some of you today. He got bitten by the snake. The Bible says it fastened itself. It was locked on. It didn't want to go anywhere. But the Bible says that Paul shook the snake off. He shook it off. It's the first thing he did is he shook it off. And I want to tell you some of you today, we need to have a spirit of, you've got to shake it off. Yes, some stuff has happened to you. Yes, you were bitten and you were bitten hard. And it's been fastened to you. And for some of those things that have happened to us, there's no doubt about it, you shook it off. But right now, there's a few of these things still hanging on to you right now. And the Holy Spirit would say, it's time for you to shake it off. Yell at the person beside you and say, shake it off. Shake it off. It's time to shake it off. Shake it off. You've got to shake it off. Some of you have had this snake attached for years. For some of you, it was just a recent bite. But you've got to understand something. You've got way too much to do than to let the past stay hanging on. You've got way too much future. God's got a plan for your life. God's trying to do something with your life, but he needs you to shake the snake. Yes, I did say that. And I'm referring. To my friend here. Hey, come on, church. We're going to get free of this stuff. If we want thy kingdom come, your will be done, God. Come on, all of us, we were saying, yes, Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. I want to tell you right now, when we get to heaven, there are no snakes hanging off us. And I know this is really challenging, but this is a message of hope. It's a message of confidence. The enemy wants us to think that you are defined by your snake bite. You're not. The Apostle Paul was bitten. The Bible says everyone saw him and he didn't go, wow, this is awkward. I must be a bad person. This is all my fault. I should have done something differently. I knew I shouldn't have picked up those sticks. You can go into regret. You can go into self-doubt. You can go into a whole lot of stuff. But the Apostle Paul, the minute he saw it, he shook it off. And the Holy Spirit would say, come on, when are you going to shake this thing off? It's time to shake this thing off. Amen? Shake it off. He didn't look to blame anybody. He didn't blame the locals. He just simply shook it off. Amen? You know what? He didn't lose his passion for God because he got bitten. He just shook it off. I've been coming to church. I've been tithing and things aren't going well financially. I'm gonna, instead of shaking the snake off, we actually shake God off. We shake off the friends that we actually have got off. No, why don't you shake the snake off? Get the snake off your life. Here's the problem. Are you hearing this? Come on, it is time to shake it off. Hey, listen, the Apostle Paul didn't have a revenge plan on the snake. He didn't seek revenge on the snake. He didn't try and understand why it all happened and why, God, why did you allow me? He just shook it off. But listen to this next part. Verse 6. It says, the people, come on, read this out together with me. It says, the people expected. Say it one more time. The people expected. Hey, listen, when people at your workplace, at your school, your mom, your dad, when people hear of the snake bite, they're expecting you to swell up and suddenly fall dead. That's what people are expecting to happen. Oh man, have you heard what happened to that couple? Have you heard what's happened with their child? Have you heard what's happened with their workplace? Have you heard what's happened with their health? Have you heard what's happened with their children? And people are watching you going, well, it's not going to be long. Yeah. You know, as soon as people hear that, you'll notice that they look at their watch. Because what they've actually done is started their stopwatch. And when people see some bad stuff happen to your life, it's like they go, yeah, they'll be dead soon. They'll be dead soon. I'm not being negative. It's the honest truth. Some people are waiting for you to die because of the stuff that's happened in your life. They're waiting for you. It says they expected him to die and to swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time, oh, I love this part. After waiting a long time and seeing nothing, everyone say nothing, nothing unusual happened to him, they changed their minds and they said, man, this guy's a god. Are you seeing that? After watching him, they were waiting for him to fall apart. They were waiting for him to start talking badly and start being negative and start taking some pills. And listen, if you're on antidepressants, God bless you. I pray that you are able to go on a journey of getting off them. Let me tell you something right now. People are watching your life. They're watching my life. And they're watching how we respond to the negative events of our life. And the way in which we bring that kingdom come is we shake it off. And that blows them away right away. But what they're waiting for is, yeah, you've shaken it off, but it's not real. It's not real because you're about to die. Any minute now, you're about to die. Friends, why is this so important to do? Because there are some of these, like I said, they've been hanging on for many, many years. And you got bitten. But you know, if you're a young lady and some guy cheated on you, you know, you got bitten. And you're like, nobody will notice. So then you're meeting guys. Hi, how are you? How you been? And you know what? And the venom is there. And you're thinking, what's happened? What? How come you don't want to date me? Why? What's going on? And what you don't realize is every second comment is about negativity that you don't... Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And it's hanging off us. And today's the day. Yeah. Today's the day where we go, you know what? Enough is enough. Enough is enough. It's got to go.
Right.
Paul, listen to this. I love this part. Paul shaking off the snake wasn't the miracle. Yeah. If this thing jumps out of a fire, if I go camping with somebody and this thing, bang, latches on, and I go, whoa, and I shake it off. By the way, is that what you would naturally do? Anybody? Anybody? Is that what you would? Okay. God is saying, can you please do it spiritually?
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. But if I shook that off, would anyone who was standing around watching that happen, would they go, wow, what a miracle? Would any of you say, wow, what a miracle? Would you go, that was just very smart? Would you agree? If I shook it off, you'd all go, what a smart guy that guy is. Wouldn't you? But would any of you say, wow, what a miracle? No, because the miracle wasn't shaking off the snake. The miracle is you're not going to die. They didn't call Paul a god because he shook off the snake. They called him a god because they were waiting for him to die, and the guy just wouldn't die. You know, you shaking off the divorce is actually not the miracle. You trusting again?
Wow.
Yeah, come on, let's go there, come on. Yeah. You saying, no, the divorce hasn't destroyed me. You know, I'm still financially viable. I'm okay. I'm alive. I've still got a life to live. And I'm still putting makeup on, or I'm still wearing a tie. Yeah, you know what I mean? If you're a guy and you're a girl, do those appropriate things there, right? You surviving the divorce is actually not the miracle. Seriously. Not being negative about the opposite sex. Not speaking badly to every person who's in a marriage. That's actually the miracle. Are you hearing me? You listen, you getting through a bankruptcy isn't the miracle. The miracle is that you're willing to step out in faith again. Amen. And that, come on, somebody, right? You being willing to step out again and believe for a miracle again and believe in yourself again. That, see, I'm just stepping all over him right now. See, do you know when you shake it off, you can't help but step all over him. Yeah, I like that. I didn't write that down, actually. That's a good point. Very hard to step on something when it's actually still attached to your hand. But when it's been shaken off, it's behind you. Are you hearing this? Listen, recovering from a bad business deal is not the miracle. Forgiving and trusting the people that hurt you.
Yeah, wow. That's great.
Being willing to get into a partnership again.
Yeah.
That's the miracle.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Do you know, some of you may or may not know, but when I was a very young man, I was going out with a young lady and things were going really fine to the point where we actually got engaged. Got engaged to this girl. You know, didn't make a big deal of it, didn't have a big engagement party, but nevertheless, I was planning to marry the girl. And then one day I walk into a room and she's on the phone and she's full on talking to another guy in a very inappropriate manner. And I was shattered. My heart was broken into a million little pieces. I got cheated on. Some of you have been cheated on. Listen, all I'm trying to say is I got bitten by a snake. But I've got to look you in the eye and say, as shattered as I was, I can honestly tell you I've lived this message where I literally said to myself, in one day, some of you are going, that's ridiculous, you mustn't have really loved her. No, I just know that, I just believe that God's got a plan for my life. And if someone doesn't love me like that, I deserve to be loved. And if you don't want to love me, somebody will. Because I'm a great guy and I'm Lebanese and all that. And something's going to happen for me. And it's going to be absolutely awesome. And some of you have got to take on that spirit. And you know what? I got cheated on, but I was able to shake off the snake. But listen, that wasn't the miracle. That was smart to say it's over. That was the smart thing to do. Are you hearing me? Being willing to move on was the smart thing to do. But then when this gorgeous girl came along... Hey, listen, it wasn't too many days later. Are you hearing me? Some of you are like, well, this is inappropriate. Good luck with that. I'm married for 25 years and I love that girl with all my heart. Okay? So take that in the eye, devil. Okay? All I'm trying to tell you is I shook it off, but the miracle was my heart was healed and ready to go again. And I was able to see this girl during a worship meeting. And God said to me, that's your girl. In a worship meeting, I'm like, really, God, that's your girl. We started dating. I married the girl within 6 months. Got 3 kids. Pastoring a church in Poland. God is doing great things. I love what's going on in my life. Give the Lord a huge round of applause from the front to the back. God is doing good things. Come on. Shaking off the snake is actually not the miracle. That's just the first part of the process. Being open again, not being bitter, allowing God's Holy Spirit to soften your heart. That is the miracle. And that is what other people say, whoa, there must be a God in your life. Because I don't see that happen often. Now, usually people are messed up for years and years and years and there's snakes hanging off them. Actually, snakes are choking them. Are you hearing me? Come on, today's the day that we're going to shake it off. You know, in Matthew 14, it tells us that Jesus was doing ministry and he had a cousin that he loved a lot. Does anyone know the name of his cousin? Okay, 3 of you know it. His cousin's name was John the Baptist. And the Bible tells us that his cousin had his head chopped off. The cousin that he loved. This was the cousin who said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And in Matthew 14, the Bible says that Jesus was told about John the Baptist's death. How many of you know that that's a really bad snake bite? But if you read the very next verse, it says, Jesus went away and had some solitude. Not a bad thing to do while you're shaking off the snake. And then the Bible says that the crowds followed him and he began to teach. That was the miracle. He was able to take his eyes off himself and continue to serve God. You know, that's when Jesus actually served food to 5,000 people. It wasn't more than 24 hours later after hearing about such a negative event, Jesus was still back on the horse of bringing the kingdom of God to a sick and dying world, and he helped people. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? That's the miracle. Jesus knows. He knows about the snake bite. And there's a whole lot of people watching us, and I'm going to be honest with you, some of them are still waiting for you to die because some of the snake bite. But you know what? This morning, can we have a let's prove them wrong service? Can we have a let's prove them wrong service? Come on, some of you are already experiencing this. You're already proving people wrong. Some of you have been through some things and people said, man, he is wiped out, he is finished. And guess what? You're still standing, you're still smiling, you're still serving, God is still in your life. And they're wondering, how are you doing it? I'll tell you how I'm doing it, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge everybody in this place. Some of you have gone very quiet because I can tell right now, you're ready to shake the snake. You're ready to get him out of your life, and you want him off your life, and you're ready for the Holy Spirit to start doing the healing process. Amen? Amen? And listen, let me tell you why the Apostle Paul, let me tell you what's missing from this story. Let me tell you what's missing. Are you ready? I love this. If this was me, this is how it would have gone. And Richard put some wood onto the fire, and the snake jumped out and bit him. And then it would say, and Richard said, you beep 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 beep. That's what it would have sounded like. And why would I have done that? Because I would have feared, listen, I would have feared that this thing was going to take my life. Isn't that right? Did you notice that Paul didn't do that? Paul just went, snake. How does he do that? Read it. It doesn't say, and Paul panicked. Paul was afraid. Read it. It doesn't say Paul was afraid. How did he do that? Because he had a word from God that he had to go to Rome. And guess what? He wasn't in Rome yet. He wasn't in Rome yet. So he went, oh, snake. I better get it off me. I better get it off me. It's a smart thing to do. But did you notice how it doesn't say, and Paul stood there wondering whether he was going to die? No, because he went back to the word that God gave him. Paul, I need you to go to Rome. He had a confidence on the inside that was so strong. Are you hearing that? God's got a word over your life. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Can we all say that together? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on, one more time. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So when you find yourself being bitten by something, you can either panic or you can go back to those words and say, you know what? Yeah, some bad stuff has happened, but I'm going to achieve everything that God has for me.
Right.
Yeah, oh man, this is a shock that this has happened to my life. I wasn't expecting this snake bite. But you're going to get there.
Come on.
You're going to get there. Are you hearing me?
Jesus
said to the disciples, come on, let's go to the other side. And so the Bible says that they get into a boat and they start rowing to the other side. Do you remember this story?
Yeah.
And then the Bible says that the winds began to rise and the waves were rising. And what was Jesus doing in the front of the boat? He was sleeping.
True.
What were the disciples doing?
Panicking.
Yeah. They finally wake him up and they say, Jesus, don't you care? Now, Jesus doesn't say this, but I think what he was really saying to them was, guys, wasn't I the one that said, let's go to the other side?
Yeah.
So no matter what storms you faced, you're going to get to the other side.
Yeah.
So has God told you that you're going to get to the other side? Everyone please say yes. He's not that mean. You're going to get there. You are going to get to the other side. He's going to bless you. He's going to prosper you. So no matter what snake bite you've experienced, I'm telling you right now, God has a plan for your life. Amen. You may be experiencing addiction right now. Well, guess what? We're going to shake that today. Oh, gee, that's very simplistic. Well, so is surviving a snake bite. Amen. Oh, that's a bit... Pastor Richard, that's a bit irresponsible to tell people that they could just shake it off like that. Well, guess what? I've actually seen God do it, so it's not irresponsible. God can break your habit right now in this church service. He can smash that habit to pieces, and he can send you out of this place unafraid to live your life. Do you know why a lot of people do take some type of substance? Because you're nervous about life, because you don't have the confidence, and it gives you just that little bit of confidence, or it helps you escape your reality. God says, I can be all of those things. I can be your confidence. I can give you everything you need. Amen. Come on. You don't have to put stuff into your body to make you a better person. The Holy Spirit can make us a better person all by himself. Come on. For some of us have been through some relationship stuff, and you are not the person you once were. You're not the person you once were. You were so bubbly. You were alive. You were confident. Now, like, you're second guessing yourself. I've got to tell you something, friend. You don't have to live that way.
Come on.
I told you, I experienced something tragic in a relationship. But you know what? I just made a decision. No, I'm not stepping into that. I'm not stepping into that self-doubt. I'm not stepping into it. No. I deserve a great girl. And I stepped into who I actually am in God. So that when the lady of my dreams came along, I was ready for her. She didn't get a half-baked potato, smashed up car. Amen? She got a 911 Porsche, man. 2016 model. Because it's a little bit cheaper, because, you know, 2017, so it was a little bit cheaper. But you know what? Are you hearing me? She deserves the best. Not a smashed up thing that was hurting and broken. And are you getting what I'm saying today? Come on. We've got a lot of stuff to do. We're bringing thy kingdom come. Amen. How does that happen? Starts in you. Starts in you. First we shake that viper off. Shake him off. That's just the smart thing to do, by the way. And then we need the healing process of God. Because you're not going to die. This is not going to wipe you out. No. No, you are not going to be wiped out. No, you are not. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you encouraged? Some of you are still nervous about the snake. And it's just a rubber snake, guys. Calm down. It's all right. Come on, why don't you get to your feet? Why don't you get to the feet? Some of you have heard me say this. I'll say it again. Jesus crushed his head. Jesus did that for you. Do you know why you can shake off this guy? Because Jesus was bitten by him on the cross. The Bible says that Jesus became sin. And while he was hanging on the cross, everyone was expecting him to die. And if you were watching him, you would have thought, yep, there it is. He died. But they didn't know that 3 days later, three days later, he looked him in the eye and he said, I've defeated you. Every snake that's holding on to you has already been defeated, friends. It's already been defeated. This is not your job. It's already been done for you. You just got to say, Jesus, I accept it. I accept it. I accept that the snake has already been destroyed in my life. It's already been done. Right now. Come on, the snake is holding on. He's holding on tight. But right now we are prying back his jaw, getting those fangs out of our fingers, getting the fangs out of your neck, getting the fangs out of your heart. Come on, let's get it out. It's enough. It's enough about thinking about those old things. Come on, we're going to begin to worship. Let's worship. Let's worship him. Let's turn up the heat. Let's turn up the heat of worship in our life. Snakes can't cope with worship. Come on.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabaki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.